Father, we thank you tonight. It is the entrance of your word that brings understanding. It is when your word enters, the word you sent that enters our hearts, that brings healing and deliverance from destruction. Lord, we have come in the multitude of your mercies tonight. By the blood, we come boldly to your throne of grace. Cleanse us, purge our conscience from all dead works. Purify our hearts and pour out your spirit. Turn our hearts into a good ground and let your word come forth with power in its simplicity to heal, to deliver, to bring direction and instruction into our lives, into our situations, into circumstances. Lord, all for your glory, let your word be clear as we open your word, the scriptures, open our understanding, Lord God, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we looked at the topic, you can intercept God, or those who intercepted God, or those who intercepted Jesus. So that will be our topic of this Bible study, which we are going to look at more tonight. So please, can the media team bring the topic of this study? This is going to be the part two. You can intercept Jesus, or those who intercepted God or intercepted Jesus, because Jesus is the express image of God. So you can interchange which one. Last week, we saw that woman who had bled for 12 years. We saw her from the book of Matthew chapter 9. We saw her from the book also of, Mark and chapter 5. We saw her from Luke chapter 8, how she intercepted Jesus. Jesus was going somewhere else. The Lord Jesus was going. He was intercepted by Jairus. And he was going to Jairus' house to go raise Jairus' daughter back to life, who had just died. And as Jesus was going, a woman intercepted Jesus. There were two interceptions. Jairus going simply to ask Jesus to do what he believed Jesus would do. So we could see the faith of Jairus. Jairus wouldn't have come to ask Jesus to come and raise his daughter if he had not heard and seen what Jesus had done Lazarus. He knew Jesus could raise the dead. So come to my house. So Jesus was not thinking of that woman. But the woman, the Bible tells us, she heard about Jesus. She told herself that about Jesus, that if she touches Jesus' garment, she will be healed. She intercepted Jesus without Jesus having her on his agenda, on his itinerary that day. So you can revisit last week's Bible study on this same channel, and you will see what we studied. But then something happened, interestingly, further down. After Jesus left this woman who intercepted him in the book of Matthew chapter number 9. And then Jesus went to Jairus's house, okay? And he went to Jairus's house after the interception of this woman, right? And then he heals Jairus's daughter, okay? He heals Jairus's daughter when he got to Jairus's house. So, you know, we can see that easily also in that account. But then he leaves Jairus's house and he was going, the Bible didn't really specify where he was going, but let's see the account in Matthew chapter 9 verse 27. Matthew chapter 9 verse 27, again, you can intercept God. and those who intercepted Jesus. We want to study and see how those who intercepted Jesus intercepted him, and how you and I can also intercept Jesus. The Bible says in verse 27, Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." Verse 30, and their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. You know, I always wondered, why did Jesus tell these guys after he hit them that, "Oh, see that no one knows it"? Because Jesus is not like some of us today chasing clout. Jesus was not trying to win some popularity contest. He wasn't trying to be popular. The Bible simply said he went about doing good. He had only one agenda: to glorify his Heavenly Father. Do good, the good that glorifies his Heavenly Father. And the Lord Jesus taught us, he taught his disciples. He said, "Let your light so shine before men, so that when people see the good works you do, they will give the glory, not to you, but to your Father, your Heavenly Father, who is in heaven." So Jesus wasn't chasing clout. You know, if some of us open the eyes of the blind today, I'm sure you are going to put it on every of your social media platform so that it can go viral and tell everybody, like, share, "Wow, this happened." Well, let's learn something to always give God the glory. Do we want the world to know that Jesus heals, Jesus raises the dead? Of course we do, you know, but it's the motive, the heart. But that's not our study tonight. This man intercepted Jesus. Jesus just left Jairus' house. The Bible tells us they followed him. How did they intercept him? They were crying out. And what were they saying? "Son of David, have mercy on us." Wow. The Bible tells us that Jesus went into the house and then they still came to him. Can you see the interception and the interruption? Because Jesus was going and they were the ones who followed. They were the ones who intercepted him. It wasn't like Jesus was passing by, saw them, and he stopped. No, they intercepted. We said something last week. We learned something last week about the faith of that woman who had 12 years bleeding, 12 years in isolation, 12 years under lockdown. She heard about Jesus. She said to Jesus, and we established that she heard of Jesus. Of Jesus, not just about. Twice, the Bible says, once I have spoken, twice have I heard, that all power belongs to God. She heard it about Jesus, maybe from a third party. But then the next time she heard about Jesus, she told herself of Jesus, what Jesus could do, and what will happen to her if she touched Jesus's garment. There is a need for you and I to hear twice. The hearing of the word, the hearkening, the responding, the acting of the word we hear brought strength to that woman. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels," Psalm 103, verse 20, "who excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word." She heard of Jesus once. She heard of Jesus twice. Once, the first time from third parties, second time she told herself, and that brought strength. She acted and she was healed of a 12-year problem. Listen, if you're watching this broadcast tonight, there's an issue in your life that's defied solution like that woman. Listen, hear this word tonight and tell yourself the word you heard tonight, that Jesus heals. Jesus is able and will, is capable and is willing to heal. This woman, Jesus didn't lay hands on her. She laid hands on Jesus. But then look at this blind man. Their own situation was different. Jesus was going. They also followed him. He got to the house. They followed him. But then how did they intercept Jesus? There's something we're going to see tonight from these two blind men. And then we're going to look at another blind man, his account. We see his own account and his own story in the book of Mark chapter 10. So let's go there quickly and then we tie the two up. Mark and chapter 10 from verse 46 to verse 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to verse 52. Who is this man? A man called Bartimaeus. Unfortunately, he was qualified by his challenge. The physical challenge he had was that he could not see. He was blind. So he was referred to as blind Bartimaeus. The Bible still tells us who his father was. But then, what was now his profession? You see, in those days in Bible history, when someone is blind, they are usually identified by the garment they wear. The garment they wear, so that when they are coming and they are, people are walking towards them or they are coming from afar, you recognize that this man is blind by the garment he's putting on. And usually, you know, because of, you know, not nowadays that there's technology, whatever state we are in, the technology is there to cover up and help us enhance whatever, you know, challenge we have physically. But in those days, sadly, when people have physical challenges in their bodies, if they're lame, paralyzed, if they're crippled, if they're blind, you know, it's like a life sentence. They usually are there begging. You know, you see that in Bible history, and you see that a lot. You know, in Acts of the Apostles, there was this man who was paralyzed. You know, they always put him outside of the temple, you know, like someone who is brought to church every day, but not into the church, but outside the church, you know, by the gate called Beautiful. That's the stories in Acts chapter, in the book of Acts. But that's not where we're going tonight. What we're just saying is that Bartimaeus had a life sentence on him. He was sentenced to begging. And the Bible says he sat by the roadside begging. We don't know how long he had been blind for, but that is degrading enough that he could not do anything with his life, but sit by the roadside every day begging. But then let's read on the story of Bartimaeus and tie it up with the other two guys in the book of Matthew. Now, the Bible tells us, look at it, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Listen, pause there. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, but Jesus was going somewhere else. Jesus was just passing by. But then we see Bartimaeus intercepting Jesus by crying out. You know, crying out. Is there a similarity between this blind Bartimaeus and the blind two blind men who followed Jesus? Yeah. The three of them cried out. They intercepted. Maybe you're crying, or maybe something has been making you cry all these years. Listen, you are hearing the word of God tonight. Something is about to shift. Something will shift in your circumstances. Are you on a life sentence? Something that defies solution? Listen tonight. You will see how you can intercept Jesus through this Bible study. Look at them. The two blind men in Matthew chapter 9 cried out. Blind Bartimaeus cried out. What were they crying out? What did they both say? Look at what they said. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The two blind men said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Okay, let's now see what happened to blind Bartimaeus in this case. Interestingly, the Bible says, then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more. What did he cry out? Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, can you see something about blind Bartimaeus? Crowd, the people who were around told him to shut up. Similarity between blind Bartimaeus and the woman with the issue of blood we saw last week. The crowd also could have been the hindrance to her, number one, going out to dare venture out of her house. The crowd, what would people say? What would people think? If people see me, they will stone me. If people hear that I dare venture out in my situation, they will deal with me. Because under the law, it was a death sentence to have an issue of blood and be interacting with people. But then blind Bartimaeus by the wayside, forgotten, forlorn, forsaken. Nobody who looked at his side. Anybody who looked at blind Bartimaeus was just to pity him. Just pity that beggar, that blind beggar. He had been given a name, you know, sentenced to a life of degradation by the wayside. And all he will do, career, was to beg. He's heard about Jesus. The same crowd that will have hindered the woman with the issue of blood, the same crowd now, warn him, keep quiet. In other words, come on, you blind beggar. Keep quiet. You know, you are a nobody in this society. We know you. Why are you disturbing Jesus? Keep quiet. But the Bible said, this man defied every human logic, every human, you know, warning, every human limitation that would tell him, don't move. Your situation is hopeless. Sentenced to a lifetime of begging. The Bible said, he cried out the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, let's see something about this blind Bartimaeus. Why did he cry out to Jesus? We will come back and look at what he cried, what he said, because what he said was actually the key. But there were two keys here. The key is in the question Jesus will ask him. He cried out the more, verse 49. And then Jesus stood still. Listen, that was an interception. Jesus had no plan to stand still. Jesus had no blind Bartimaeus on his itinerary on that day. He was quietly going, and blind Bartimaeus by the wayside cried out, Son of David, have mercy, and intercepted Jesus. The Lord Jesus stood still. And hear this, he commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. What an irony. The same crowd trying to shut you up will start celebrating you when you cry out to God. I am telling you by the Spirit of God, Let nothing, let no one silence you to ask and cry out for mercy. We looked at that. But then, let's go on. In verse 50, the Bible said, throwing aside his garment. Remember that garment? It was his garment, a uniform, life sentence. It's like you going to be sentenced to prison and you are put, you have to life imprisonment, and the person is given a prison uniform. That's all they wear throughout, you know, their life sentence. But blind Bartimaeus does something very significant here. The Bible said he threw aside his garment. He threw aside his garment. A blind man throws aside the life, the signet that marks his life sentence. He throws it aside. He rose. He came to Jesus. He wouldn't do that. But let's, if this interaction he had with Jesus did not reveal something to us, those who intercepted Jesus. Okay, what happened? Let's look at the conversation between him and Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? That's a big question, people. Remember blind Bartimaeus, beggar, that's his, you know, he's a career beggar. All his life, that's what's by the wayside. Nobody reckons with him except those who want to pity him. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? That's a big question. Do you know why? Because he could have said, Lord Jesus, I want you to give me money. Remember, he's a beggar. Lord Jesus, I've been sitting down here. I'm hungry. Look at my offering basket, my beggar's basket. I don't have money in there. Can you give me some money? Jesus asked him specifically, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means master, which means Lord, which means owner, maker, that I may receive my sight. You don't ask that, you don't answer that way unless you know that the person you are coming to can do it. The first act of blind Bartimaeus there was to throw away that garment. Listen, I'm telling somebody, right, hearing this, throw away that which people have used to identify you. That tag they've put on you. That label they've put on you. Listen, God is untagging you tonight. God is removing that evil, satanic label upon your life. God is removing that which has paralyzed you. Listen, some of us are bearing titles and you don't realize that the title itself is a paralysis, a signature, a stamp of paralysis. Throw that away tonight in the name of Jesus. Stop calling yourself what God has not called you. Stop calling yourself the label that people put on you. God didn't put it on you. We are talking about let God intercept, that's the theme, and take full control of my life, of your life. But here, we are even seeing how you and I can intercept God. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, that I may receive my sight. And then let's see what happened. The Lord Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Well, he didn't even lay hands on him. He didn't even tell him, like another blind man he told somewhere, all right, he spat in the mud, put mud on his eyes and said, go and wash. For this blind Bartimaeus, it was another level of faith. The guy, blind Bartimaeus, heard about Jesus. He acted on what he heard. He went to Jesus, but listen, he must have, like that blind, like that woman with the issue of blood, told himself, away with this garment, useless garment. I don't need this garment anymore. I'm getting rid of this garment, this blind label, this blind signet, this blind stamp. I'm throwing it away. Enough is enough. Somebody tonight, tell yourself, enough is enough. I am not a beggar in the name of Jesus. And even if people have called you a beggar, listen, hear what God says about beggars. The Bible says it takes the beggar out of the dunghill and sets that beggar to sit among princes. That is your portion tonight in the name of Jesus. Go your way, Jesus says to blind Bartimaeus, the one who was blind before. Your faith has made you well. The Bible says immediately he received his sight. He followed Jesus on the road. Now let's tie it. What intercepted Jesus? How did the two blind men intercept Jesus? How did blind Bartimaeus intercept Jesus? Can you see a similarity? They both, that's the blind man and blind Bartimaeus, they both shouted the same thing. Please, are we good? All right, okay. They both shouted, "Son of David, have mercy on me." What is it about David? What is it about mercy? Remember, blind Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus going. The two blind men heard it was Jesus also, and they followed him and they cried. Listen, number one, they knew that Jesus was the son, was from the lineage of David. You will say, who was David? David? There was something about David. David is a man, was a man. God raised him to be a king, and he fell into adultery. David, the Bible says, is a man who was after the heart of God. David was always seeking to know the mind, the heart, how he would please God. David, but then David messed up when he became a king. He committed adultery. But David, unlike the king that was before him, did not try to justify why he committed sin. He knew that the judgment, the wages of sin, was death. He knew that the gift of God was going to be life. He pleaded for mercy. David, he knew that God, the Bible says about God, time will fail us tonight, that his judgment, that his mercy prevails over judgment. David, he knew that God does not delight in the destruction of a human being. You are hearing tonight, you've messed up, your life is messed up, you've done all sorts of things, and in all sincerity, you should be condemned, you should be like, you know, forgotten, forsaken, thrown away. But mercy of God prevails over judgment. In James chapter 2, verse 13, Bible says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Listen tonight. They said, Jesus, son of David. The Bible tells us something, that God made a covenant of mercy with David. A covenant of mercy. We see that in the book of Isaiah chapter 55. A covenant. You know what a covenant is? Covenants are made usually between two or more parties, but usually two parties. The stronger and the weaker. The higher and the lesser. The rich and the poor. Which means when we enter into a covenant, that which you have belongs to me. That which I have belongs to you. If you are smart, you gotta make a covenant with someone greater than you. God entered a covenant. We see in Isaiah chapter 55. Hear what God said about David in Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine, milk without money and without price. And then, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight in itself in abundance. Verse 3, incline your ear. Come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Sure mercies of David. Let's quickly read another scripture in Psalm 89. Hear God, what he said about David. Hear God. David never justified himself when he messed up before God. He pleaded for mercy. God made a covenant with him. The Bible says, nevertheless, my loving kindness, I will utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness. Nevertheless, my loving kindness, I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant, I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Verse 35. Once I have sworn by my holiness, look at it, I will not lie to David. Blind, two blind men, blind Bartimaeus, that is what they tapped into the sure mercies, the covenant. They cried out, Son of David. And what is the covenant with David? Mercy. Son of David, have mercy on us. They did not try to justify anything. They did not try to plead that, you know, it's not our fault. Something happened. No explanation. They tapped into the covenant mercy that God had made with David. You say, how does that relate with me? Listen, Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who is this Lord? Jesus, the son from the lineage of Jesse, the lineage of the root of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. If you look at Jesus' lineage, he came from the lineage of David. If you and I want to intercept him, intercept Jesus, we tap into the covenant mercy. It's a covenant, which means God has promised. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And the Bible states it clearly, he will not lie to David. He's made an everlasting covenant with David. How can you and I intercept God? We see how these blind men intercepted. They heard about Jesus and they knew Jesus was from the lineage of David and tapped into the covenant that God had made of mercy with David. Covenant is called sure mercies. They are as sure. The Bible says, hear this, hear what David said in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know? Jeremiah tapped into it. Jeremiah said about it, Lamentations chapter 3. He said it in verse 22 and verse 23. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. Listen to this. Verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. David, Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness, mercy follows me all. Not some. All. So for every living day, there's a covenant of mercy hanging that you and I can tap into. That is the way we intercept God. That is the way you can intercept God. The mercies of God are available. David also in the Psalm 136 captures it. For his goodness and mercies endures forever. But you see, you and I can only enjoy that goodness and mercy when we are alive. after we die is judgment. So while you're alive, you can intercept Jesus. You can interrupt Jesus. I want us to pray right now. Let us pray right now. What is the prayer? Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Stop justifying anything. Are you in any sickness? Are you in any trial? Are you in any trouble? Stop trying to justify yourself. Lay prostrate. Fall down. Drop everything. Lay it down. Let God intercept right now. You intercepting by your cry for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my health. Have mercy on my family. Have mercy on my marriage. Have mercy on my husband. Have mercy on my wife. Have mercy on my child, of my children, of my womb, of that part the doctors have diagnosed and said there's nothing that can happen. Let God intercept a life sentence right now. Let God intercept that which has been forgotten, that which has been written of, that which has been forsaken. In the name of Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. I cry out for mercy. Your covenant of mercy. You have covenanted that when I cry on and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, the same way blind Bartimaeus did, the same way those two men, blind men did, mercy, you will stand still. You will come forth through. You will come through for me. In the name of Jesus, everybody, mercy, mercy, mercy. Lord, that's all I cry for. I'm not justifying anything. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The Bible says we should come boldly, boldly. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Who is qualified? Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who is qualified? That person who has heard about Jesus today, that you've heard what this word today, you are qualified to cry out for mercy. Lord, covenant. It's a covenant. You made the covenant. Have mercy. Have mercy. Come to the boldly to the throne of grace right now, child of God. Come to the bold throne of grace. You've messed up. You've missed it. You've blown it. Oh, mercy, mercy, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That word grace and mercy are interchangeably the same thing. Lord, mercy. Have mercy. What? Have mercy on my career. Have mercy. That which is dead. That, please, everybody cry out. That child. Have mercy on my education. Have mercy on my brain. Have mercy on my heart. Have mercy. That part of your body that is not functioning. That part that is dead. Oh, you have backslidden. You have forgotten God. You've forgotten your covenant. You made your vow. You've broken your vow. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Lord, David prayed in Psalm number 51. Oh, have mercy. He committed adultery. We are not justifying the act, but he didn't justify it either. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Oh, have mercy. Mercy. That is all we are praying for. Lord, we have missed it. Lord, we have done what we shouldn't do, said what we shouldn't say, think what we shouldn't think. Some of us have used our mouth to destroy our homes, destroy our marriages, destroy our career, destroy our future. Have mercy. According to your loving kindness, Psalm 51, please, media, if you can bring that up. There is a multitude of tender mercy. Have mercy. Lord, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Psalm 103, two benefits, daily loads us. New every morning is mercies. Psalm 103, he forgives all iniquities. He heals all our diseases. Oh, Father, mercy, mercy. Jesus, mercy, mercy. I receive your mercy. Your mercy that rejoices over, triumphs over judgment. I deserve to be judged. I deserve to be condemned. I deserve to be locked up. But mercy, mercy, mercy in the name of Jesus. Somebody cry out, Lord Jesus, Son of David. Lord Jesus, the Son of the living God. Have mercy, mercy. Listen, chains are broken. Listen, judgments that were meant to be passed are reversed in the name of Jesus. Listen, condemnation. Condemnation. you are meant to be thrown in the condemned prisoner's cell. Mercy, mercy prevails right now. Mercy speaks right now. The blood of Jesus that was shed, that blood speaks mercy. That blood reveals mercy. That blood manifests mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. You've taken a wrong turning. You're going the wrong direction. Mercy, mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we receive your mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to someone, I have said in my word, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's a word for someone. You go right now, in the power of this word you heard, think about everyone, anyone who has hurt against you, who will hurt you, and declare and release them mercy, because blessed, empowered to prosper, to go forward, are those who are merciful, for they will obtain mercy. One way you will intercept Jesus is you by showing mercy. And you will see the Lord showing you mercy. But like every other person, blind Bartimaeus or those two blind men, do you believe I'm able to do this? What do you want? That is our prayer. Be it unto you according to your faith. God bless you and see you same time next week on this Bible study. Next week will be questions, answers. But you know what? Next week I'm prophesying will be testimonies. Mm-hmm. Testimonies. Mm-hmm. When we put the Slido up, throw in your testimony. Throw it. In fact, start throwing it tonight. Somebody, that guilty conscience is gone, wiped off by the blood of Jesus. Rise up, get a new spring, and walk in the fullness of God's mercy. God bless you, and see you in the fullness of God's mercy. Bye for now.